praise you, Lord. We extol you. We lift you up and we magnify your name, Jesus. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Anyone know what that name is? Why don't you scream into the top of your lungs then? Glory to God. He is a mighty God, and I love him with all of my heart. Amen. Thank God for being here and this wonderful group of people we have here. And we're just going to teach for a few minutes here and see what happens. Let's pray first. Lord, we're so thankful for this time we have here together. Lord, we thank you for your spirit, your anointing. We thank you for this wonderful group of people, Lord, in the ministry, our pastor in his absence. We pray for the entire ministry, Lord, and pray that the word would go forth with power and give us revelation, God, not just information, but we can be conformed to your word. We pray this prayer by faith and believe you hear us when we pray. If you believe you hear you, say amen. If you believe he hear you, say amen. Amen. I think Sister Walker is the only one that believes it. Me and you together, sis. Praise the name of Jesus. We're going to teach for a few minutes here from the second book of Kings, the seventh chapter. Honor to our pastor in his absence, his wife and family. Second Kings, the seventh chapter. We're going to read about 4 or 5 verses here so you can remain standing for it. Second Kings. Let's read it like this in concert together. Start from verse 3. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. And they arose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. Verse 6, last verse. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and the noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel had hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Let's clap our hands again for the word as you're being seated. Clap your hands really, really loud. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let me teach clearly and bring revelation. You can be seated, please. This story drops us right in the middle of another story, but I think the point is pretty obvious. At least it will become more obvious as we go along in this Bible study here. I thank God for being a part of this great church. When I say church, I mean organization as well as local church. I think I'm very blessed, my family and I, to be here, and I can't say that enough. So you guys are a wonderful group of people. The need for hunger for a title. The need for hunger. The need. Repeat that title, guys. The need for hunger. Hunger. I know it's a pretty common word, and I'm sure even a child can, man, them lights seem brighter than normal, don't they? Wow. Is that the glory of God shining up? No. The need for hunger. Hunger, feelings of discomfort or weakness by a lack of food, coupled with a desire to eat. That's one definition of hunger. Feelings of discomfort or weakness by lack of food coupled with a desire to eat. Another definition says something like this. A strong desire or need for food. The discomfort, weakness, pain caused by a prolonged lack of food. Another one says it like this, and this is the last one. It says a compelling need our desire for food, the painful sensation or state of weakness caused by the need of food. It says a compelling, which is like an overwhelming sense or an overwhelming impression to do a certain thing. It says that these are the different definitions that Webster thought that hunger meant, or means, I should say. And when we speak of hunger, I know hunger, I was going over some stats over the internet, and I said, you know what, I'm not going to write all this stuff down. I'm not going to even print it or paste it or whatever the case may be. I said, because I think we're all familiar with the needs of, or the need of hunger, not just in our city or in our state or in our region of the world, but in foreign countries and regions of the world, in foreign nations. I think we can all agree that hungry are to be hunger, or people dying of hunger, I should say, has been an epidemic for some years now, and especially in third world countries. I mean, you got 3 out of 5 dying in some families of hunger. 1 out of 3 in some villages are dying of hunger. And I mean, it just goes on and on. 10% of the families in certain countries or villages of Africa are dying on a daily and weekly and monthly, yearly basis, if you would take it that far, for hunger. Not, you know, for merely just maybe becoming a little edgy and not being able to eat or not having ate in the last hour or so or whatever the case may be. I mean, literally dying of starvation, dying because they have a lack of food supply. These things are taking place on a regular basis in regions far, far from here. But I don't think I would be incorrect to say that even maybe locally, people are homeless, people are dying. I think maybe the Wallace can relate. I may know more about this than I. But even homeless people in our city, and even in our county, are suffering from the lack of food, for the lack of meals, for the lack of daily nutrition that they need. Or the body need to survive. And with all that being said, and we should as much as possible give and be able to provide food and resources whenever we are whenever we can to help people that are in need. Church, say amen. As much as we discourage hunger on a natural level, as much as hunger has been discouraged, you know, within our own community and within our own church, and maybe your family feed the homeless, maybe your family cook, or your family give turkeys away, or whatever the case may be, on a natural level, hunger has and always will be discouraged. Jesus said it like this. He said, the poor you will always have with you. When you think of poor, that's kind of synonymous with being hungry, because obviously, you know, you wouldn't be hungry if that person wasn't poor or had lack of money or whatever the case may be to buy food or things to eat. So we understand through the words of Jesus that hunger and poor has been around from the beginning of time. And he said it's going to be with us as long as we exist on this planet. And as I said earlier, as much as it is discouraged on a natural level, it is also, as much as it is discouraged, it is also encouraged for the saint and for the Christian believer to be hungry for the Lord. It is encouraged for us to keep an appetite, for the things of God and the things concerning his kingdom. Now, I know here, let's bring it home for a few minutes if we can. You know, here in the country or here in the States, in the West, when we think of being hungry, we don't think of being about to starve literally, as in other nations. We think of hunger, I wrote it down here, it's commonly used or misused. We use it to mean I've missed a meal, or maybe I this morning I didn't have time to eat my breakfast. I didn't have time like me. I like grits, eggs, and bagels, all that stuff together at one time in a really, really big cup of coffee and as much as I could possibly fit into my mug. That if I miss breakfast, I'm not very happy at all. I can skip lunch, Brother Roll, and not be that discouraged. I can skip dinner and not be that discouraged. But I'm telling you guys, you do not. I am the most probably unspiritual person you want to meet in the morning if I do not. Am I being too transparent here? If I do not have coffee, eggs, and bagels, my wife automatically knows when she goes shopping, make sure you get that man some eggs and bagels and oatmeal because I love breakfast in the morning. I am an adamant breakfast eater. I am an advocator for breakfast in the morning. I really like it. I see y'all do too, huh? You do too, Sister Carl. I love breakfast in the morning. So if I miss breakfast, thank you, Brother Hanson. If I miss breakfast in the morning, by noontime, I'm saying I'm starving. Or by 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock, I'm saying, man, I am starving. I am really hungry. That's the way I look at being hungry. You may see it differently. Some people don't eat breakfast at all. They just drink them water and a cup of juice, and they're so nutritious. And, you know, Jenny Craig, praise God, man. Listen, they are able to do these things, you know. But I'm not necessarily in that category. You may be a lunch eater, and you may need to eat you a chicken sandwich or a salad or a dinner eater or whatever the case may be. But we in the States, you know, when we skip a meal or sometimes we eat late, then our normally time of eating is say, man, I'm starving. I need to eat. Or sometimes we don't get enough of food and say, man, I only had one burger. I wanted two. You know, I wanted two apple pies or I wanted a large thing of fries, you know, because we look at these things as being hunger. And you understand the way that we see things in the natural, we compare them as being humans to spiritual things. So when we speak of hunger, and the Bible says things like they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be what? Filled. So when we think of being hungry, we think of something that's comfortable, you know, something that's doable. Because even though it is hard for me to skip breakfast, I can do it. I've done it before. Sometimes I did it because I didn't want to do it, and the other time I did it because I just maybe done it because we was fasting. But it is, I can do it with no problem at all. So when we think of being hungry, we're not thinking of a deep desperation in starvation, or I really need to get something to eat. So when we think of being hungry toward God and toward righteousness and toward his kingdom, we're not pursuing it maybe as desperately as we can, as relentlessly and tenaciously as we can, because we are comparing it to a natural appetite. But as I said earlier, how many know God encourages us and almost even commands us to be thirsty? David said, I thirst for you in a dry and barren land where no water is. David said, I long for you. He said, you are my portion in heaven. He said, who in heaven I have beside you? In other words, whom have we in heaven beside you? You alone are my portion. You are my thirst. You are my thirst quencher, I should say. He said, early in the morning will I seek you because I long for you and I desire you and I'm hungry for you and I want you. The Syrians invaded Israel and besieged the city in the capital of Samaria, causing great famine. This must have been an indescribable horrible, or I should say an indescribable horrible. For even a donkey's head was sold for 50 bucks. Now, we can't really relate to that, but let me try my best to make it, Americanize it. A dog head, I'm not kidding, this is what one translator said, a dog head in comparison. So we will say today, a pit bull is being sold for 50 bucks in the marketplace. And you think our economy is not, it's bad. These people was literally buying things that they had never ate before. They was buying things and eating things because you understand they was hungry. Now listen to my point. When people get hungry, Brother Moss, there's a desperation that grows and intensifies in that person, and it goes beyond the ability for them to even control themselves. Some of y'all know where I'm going already, don't you? When a person gets hungry, they can no more maintain their status quo. You understand? The mundanity of the way they normally do things have to kind of be put aside because hunger drives a person to the extreme. Here, they was eating donkey's head, or we would say dog head, literally, I'm not kidding. In a pint of Dove's dung, or a bird waste, sold for $3. In other words, the Red Robin, or whatever the case may be, would drop their waste. And they was literally selling that. That wasn't a part of their appetite. That wasn't kosher.
You understand? That wasn't something that we look down upon now and they look up upon it then. No. It was looked at the same way now as it was looked at then. But again, because times had become so hard and people had become so hungry, they was willing to eat things and to buy things that was normally impermissible, normally unacceptable. Normally they would look at it, turn their head at, because they had not reached the stage of hunger that they had reached at this time. Everyone follow me so far? Things became so desperate that even cannibalism was practiced. Church, say cannibalism. Cannibalism is not just the eating of meat, because I believe meat is conducive to a regular diet, maybe not too much of certain kinds or whatever the case may be. Cannibalism, to be more exacting, is the eating of human flesh. You understand, times had become so desperate that these people, and I'm sure some of us are familiar with the story, but some of the mothers, and I'm not being detestable here, I'm not trying to cross the line here, this is right out of the Holy Writ. Some of the mothers were giving birth to their babies, and days later they was literally boiling their babies and eating their own children. They was literally killing their babies after being born and taking them and putting them in a pot, and they would literally boil their skin. And you understand, there are historical facts recorded concerning these matters. These mothers would boil their skin and would peel the skin off their babies and eat it. You ask me, what would cause a mother, a reasonable person, because I don't think they was deranged at all. We can argue about it later. I don't think they was insane at all. I think, according to scripture, that they had become so hungry. They had become so desperate to fulfill a natural need for the human body to exist. We're not speaking of, you know, or maybe an ice cream cake. Thank you, Caleb. We're not speaking of maybe getting some dessert after we eat. You know, we're not speaking of things that we don't need. Food is a complete necessity. A person cannot go a very long time without eating. You can fast for a certain period of time, but even the scripture said that when Jesus got through fasting, he was hungry. He was hungry immediately. I tell my wife, I said, babe, we're not fasting, I'm hungry. You know, I'm not the one that don't like to eat. Amen. When it's time to eat, I like to eat. When it's time to fast, I still like to eat, but I fast. Man, fasting is one of the hardest things. Man, listen here. Glory to God. We was fasting last week, and I said, wow. Do you ever get used to this feeling? I guess not. These people had related to eating their own children. Women would die for their children. Women that would give their life for their children. The Bible says they was boiling and eating, cooking their own children. What would push a person so far to the edge that would make them want to eat it's a six-letter word. It's called hunger. When a person is hungry, they do desperate things. They take desperate measures, because hunger pushes you, as I said earlier, to do things that has never been done before. Hunger pushes you to get outside of your lackadaisicalness, outside of your comfortable zone, and say, man, because of my hunger, it really don't matter what people think about me. Because of my hunger pains, I'm willing to go outside the traditional dietary supplements to fulfill my hunger. Yeah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Oh, we would desire God this way. Oh, that we will hunger for God in this fashion. Oh, that we will learn to get outside of our mold and outside of our tradition and outside of our pattern and hunger for God. Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, that we will hunger for him. Oh, that we will learn to desire him. I believe worship is very, very, very important. Prayer. Equally, praise, equally as important. Matter of fact, I think if we preached about prayer from now until Jesus came back, we couldn't say enough about it. I think if we preached about prayer and about praise and about worship, we could never say enough about these absolute necessities of Christian life. But a worship is born through a desire for God. Praise is born from a hunger for Him. You understand, once you can get past the, well, if I can skip a meal and still eat later, not that hunger. Once we can get to a point where we really hunger after God, more than we hunger after food, our hunger for Him have to superpass, or I should say surpass, the hunger that we have for water and for drink. Church, I'm telling you, I believe this with all of my heart. No one could tell me differently. If we begin to really hunger for God, the way that we hunger for natural food, there is not a church that could contain the revival that we would have. There is not a church that can hold the amount of praise that we would give God. Because when a person gets hungry, you can't make them sit down. Sorry, I'm trying to teach. When a person gets hungry, all of their orderliness goes out the door. When a person begins to feel hunger pains, now, I know maybe I'm talking to a group of people that has never really experienced really being hungry. Brother Merritt, maybe they can't relate to not just not eating, but not being sure where the next meal is going to come from. And sometimes if you have never experienced that, you can relate, but it is a little harder. If you have ever been in a position to say, I'm not only hungry, but I have no money to buy food. Listen to what I'm trying to say. It's one thing to be hungry and have money in your pocket. It's not a big deal because you know in a little while, I'm going to fulfill my appetite. It's one thing to be hungry and have some beans and cornbread and greens at the house to go eat. That's a kind of hungry, a hunger, but that's not the one I'm referring to at this time. The kind of hunger that I'm referring to is saying I not only have hunger pangs, but I have no money in the bank. I have no one to feed me. I have no food in my cabins. You understand? I have no canned goods. I have no black eyed peas. I have no sardines, no tuna fish, no potted meat. I have none of these things to eat. You understand? The desperation grows deeper. A hungry person does things that a fulfilled person would never do. Some people grow up, and my daddy used to always tell me, son, never say what you won't eat. Never say, I used to say, Dad, no, I won't eat that. He said, son, listen, never say what you won't eat until you get into that situation to make a decision. Because sometimes it's hard to make a good decision when we're so sitting back, you know, and blessed as we are and have things to eat and choices and what we're going to eat and how much we're going to eat of it and what time we're going to eat it. You see people on a daily basis on different corners. Asking, I know we can disagree on this. Some of them may be going to get alcohol. Some of them may be going to get drugs. Some of them may be going to do things illegal, whatever the case may be. But I simply don't believe that that's every one of them's testimony. I think some of them are really hungry. I think some of them are really wanting something to eat. I even think that some of them, if they had food or money, wouldn't degrade themselves to the position of having to hold a cardboard board and being at the pleasure of someone to give you a dollar or something to eat, to buy something to eat. And all through the scripture, this kind of hunger is encouraged by the Lord Jesus Christ. Outside the gate of the city sat four starving lepers, who changed the course of a nation's history by marching to the enemy's camp. These these lepers, you understand, we understand the Levitical law about lepers being cast outside the city. They wasn't allowed to be amongst the people because we understand that lepers was a contagious disease. So they was outside the camp. They wasn't allowed to intermingle with the people. And if they chose to be disobedient, they risked their lives. They risked being stoned down. And many were stoned down for coming near the people when they, after they had been called unclean or a lepers. And these lepers, they got to a point where they said, well, you know what? If we stay here, we're going to die. I'm sure if I stay here, we're going to die. And they said, if we go there, we're going to die. Because we know and they understood, like we understand now that, as I foresaid, if we go into the camp, they're going to stone us. These men said, well, what do we do? And they talked among each other, four of them. And they said, you know what? If we're going to die, we might as well do it, try to get something to eat. If we're going to be stoned, now listen, I thought this was amazing when I was studying the story. They had no idea the effect that their hunger would drive them to. They had not received a confirmation from the Lord. An angel, Gabriel, had not appeared to them and brought them some elaborate message and said, hey, you four lepers, when you go into the camp, the men, the army is going to run away and they're going to flee from you. No. They had no angels to confirm their future actions. They didn't have a prophet to come and lay hands on them and say, you mighty men of God, you're going to do something great. You're going to be the salvation of the nation of Israel, because you understand, this is God's people who was about to die of starvation. And these four lepers had no spiritual insight at all. No spiritual insight. They had no way of knowing the future of their actions. They had no way of knowing in what way God was going to use them. They didn't even have a prayer band. They had nothing. The only thing they had was hunger. All they had was an appetite to fulfill. They didn't have a worship team cheering them on. They didn't have a musician cheering them on. The only thing, church, they had was a need to fulfill a natural appetite. They didn't have none of these things. They didn't have none of these things, and yet they were willing to go and suffer being stoned to death to fulfill the need of their bellies. I go even farther to say this. They wasn't even per se the people of God. We don't know who they were. The only thing the Bible called them is four lepers. We don't know whether there was heathen people. We didn't know whether there was devil worshipers or idol worshipers or Baal worshipers or the people of God. We have no history. We have no background of these four men, Brother Hansen. But the Bible called them four lepers. Why would God risk the record of a nation being recorded on four leprous men? Why would God base the whole history of the wonderful nation of Israel upon four men? Not Samson, not Samuel, not David, not Abraham, not one of the mighty prophets who had faith, not one of the mighty kings who would dance before the Lord, not a worshiper. Nick, they were none of these things. The Bible says they were four lepers. Why would God say these men are going to be the salvation of this entire nation? I'm going to rest Israel being saved upon these people, because God knew, I'm sure he knew. I'm sure in his providence, in inside of his sovereign will, he knew the human drive to fulfill the natural appetite. Now, if this appetite is compared to our spiritual appetite, if the natural appetite is looked down upon, because Jesus told his disciples, he said, I have food you know not of. He said, I have an appetite. I do. I really do. I have an appetite. But the appetite I have is not for fish and bread and for water. I don't have an appetite to eat these things, even though he has sent them away to go and get food. Jesus said, my appetite has to be fulfilled, but it is fulfilled through something more than just the mere eating of bread, water, and fish or drinking. And what I'm saying to you, church, that I believe with all of my heart that we have to get to this point of extreme desire, of extreme hunger, that God can rest the revival, this latter-day movement, not upon our talents, not upon our gifts, not upon our offices, but he's going to rest it upon our desire for him. He's going to rest it upon how bad we desire him. How much do we want him? Is it because we just skipped the meal and maybe I can have a little Jesus now? Or I can take a little him and take a little later? Or you know, I can just do enough here, you know, and just kind of lay back and not do too much because I'm not to the point of extreme starvation yet. I'm not to the point where I'm going to die if I don't get him. I'm not to the point where I desperately want him. What the definition say? I am discomfort. I am weak. I'm coupled with a desire. I have a strong desire. I have a need for him. Not just religion. Not just church in and of itself, but him. I have a desire and a need for him. Verse 3, I like the way it says it. Let me jump down here because time is running up. It says, and there were four lepers at the entry of the gate, and they said what to another? Why said we here until we die? You understand, they had to go outside of the normality. They had to go outside of what was normally expected of them. I know we're trying to follow the mold, and we have some wonderful traditions in the apostolic faith. Praise the name of Jesus. But sometimes, church, it takes us doing some things that may be considered a little unorthodox. You know, it takes some time for us to kind of be willing to hang up our reputation for the glory of God. Because I desire him, and I want him so bad. I'm willing to risk my reputation. I'm willing to risk my name and whoever I'm supposed to be and say, Lord, is this what it take to have more of you? Verse 4 says, it speaks of the desperation when the people are truly hungry, not just miss the meal. They do desperate things. We spoke about that already. Verse 5, I like that. We're going to probably end here because I don't want to shove too much at one time. It says, and they arose in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syrians, behold, listen, it says, there was no man there. I said, look at them five words. Isn't that five or six? Did I miscount? I said, one, two, three, four, five. Behold, there was no man there. What is the point of pinning that there? Why in the world would God allow that little point to be even pit there? There was no, it's kind of assumed that there was no one there, but for some reason, the person that was writing this was inspired by God to actually pit this there. There was no man there. Let me say this very slowly and quietly and not preachy at all, but when we become hungry for God, I truly believe that it will take us to places where no man has been before. I truly believe that our hunger for God can take us places that we have not even imagined. Do not the scripture says, behold, what I have prepared for you, it has not entered into the hearts of man. Does not the scripture say the things that I have prepared for you, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that I have prepared for you? I think the thing that God wants to use is that hunger for him. I believe it. When we get past
just wanting him and just simply desiring him, we can really move into a desperate hunger for him. For a desperate hunger for him. The worship, practically speaking, because I hunger for him so much. When I worship, I don't need to be pumped and primed. I don't need a certain song to be sang. I don't even need the music to be perfectly right. Because of my deep, intense hunger for him, they can shut it down. Please don't. I don't mean it that way. But if it does, it would not stop my worship. My worship is not based on gifts and talents and abilities. It's based on a deep embedded hunger for God. Praise. When I dance before the Lord, my dance is not based on the music and the beat. My dance is not even based on what you think about it. My praise, I do not even need any approval when I'm dancing before the Lord. But my praise and my dance is born out of a deep hunger and desire for him. I don't need everybody for me to dance. I can dance for God all by myself. I'm so happy. Be seated. I'm so happy that God delivered me from the thoughts and the concerns of men. Listen, that's the worst bondage to be in. That's the worst kind of bondage to be in. When you are in bondage of what people are thinking and what people are seeing you as being. I remember strategically when God delivered me, Brother Todd, of what men thought about me. It was 2002. My ministry and everything I was based on the approval of my older brothers and people around me. I wanted to get their approval and their attention. And I want them to look at me and say, man, look at Red or look at RC, whatever. Look at this guy. He really, and I did everything to get these guys to say that about me. In 2002, 2003, I believe in January, when I was still living in Mississippi. Man, God delivered me from that. And man, you talking about in, oh my goodness, a freedom. There's a freedom that you have when you get past the crowd. When you get past, listen, when you get past where folks are seeing you as, when you get past about what folks think about you, when you get past these things, I can praise him. What the song says, like nobody's watching, like nobody's listening, like nobody else is around. Ask my wife, I can do it at home without music altogether. Man, because when you have a desire and a hunger for God, you can't wait for the music to start. Because it's born out of a hunger, out of a desperate desire for him. And I'm not going to let a natural hunger outdo my spiritual hunger. However far my natural hunger can go, I want my spiritual hunger to supersede it. Because the Bible said that the kingdom of God is not food and meat and drink. That the word of God said the kingdom of God does not come with observation. But it is joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. Oh, that we will learn how to hunger for him. Oh, that we can move past this mundanity. Oh, that we can go past the ritualism and all the traditionalism. And we can move past this sensation and just say, I come here to hear and I'm going to go home the same way I came. I'm not saying you need to do what I'm doing. Do what you desire. Do what you need to do. And do whatever you feel, but let it be born from hunger. Let it be born out of a deep need for him. Don't base what you need from God on the abilities of a man or a woman. Don't base your desire for God based upon another's ability to perform for you. But once you get past this, hallelujah, and you say, Lord, I desire you so much, and I hunger for you so much. Lord, I hunger for you more than bread and more than water, more than the things I need to live.
and we get to this point, church, I'm telling you, I think that will be in the harvest like we have never seen before. I'm not saying we don't desire him now. Please don't get offended. I'm not saying that we're not even hungry for him now. Please don't get offended. But what I'm saying, can't we hunger more? Isn't there room to hunger more for him? Is there room to thirst more for him, church? That's what I'm asking you today. Do you have room for maybe a deeper worship? Do you have room for maybe a deeper desire when you praise him? Or is it just for the young folks or maybe for the old folks? What does this desire and hunger come from? Don't we have desire? Don't we have room to improve on our hunger and our desire for God? Can we pray maybe just a little bit more? I like the last point. Again, let me make this last point before I stand. Before we stand, I'm standing already. The story says at the very end that after these lepers had experienced being fulfilled. Listen, this is really good. After them lepers had experienced having their appetites met. In other words, after they had found God, put it in a spiritual metamorphosis, and put it in a spiritual form. After they had met, they had their spiritual desire met. The Bible says that they said among themselves, can we keep it to ourselves? How can we dare stay here and not tell everyone about it? How can we stay in the camp and taste of this good food and all these good appetites and don't share with nobody? The Bible says they left the food there. Hallelujah. The Bible says they left the camp and they ran, Brother Hanson, to the gate and said, we found food over here. We found somewhere where our appetites can be met. Apostolics, Pentecostal of the Palm Beach, what I'm trying to say, when we find it, we can't help but to tell somebody about it. We can't wait to get out of church and say, look what I found over here. I found something real good over here. Come see what Jesus Christ has done for me. Come see and experience the mighty power of God. Please stand. My time is up. I went over 1 minute. Hata, Jesus, Jesus. Ha. The lepers left saying, look what I found. Once you really find it, now I don't know if you really found it yet. Maybe some of us haven't really, really found it. And if you have really, really found it, then I'm not really, really talking to you. But if you have really, really found it, you can't keep it to yourself. You can't sit down on it. You can't keep quiet and be silent. Can we pray for about 4 or 5 minutes here? Can we just cry out to God in your own way? If you feel like raising your voice, you can. If you want to be silent, you can. If you want to be seated, you can. But if you have found what you are looking for, if your appetite has been met, if your desire is being met, can you touch someone else on the shoulder if you feel like it and pray for your neighbor? Can you pray that we desire God more today than we did yesterday? Can we pray that God will increase our capacity for him? Church, come on, let's pray here. Let's pray here right now. Father, in Jesus' name, oh God, we just pray for more of a desire for you. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will increase our desire. Hallelujah. Come on, church. I need some sisters to start travailing right now in the spirit. I need some men that don't mind risking their masculinity to raise their voices right now. And cry out to God for God to increase our capacity for him. Lord, increase my appetite for you, Lord. Lord, I know I've been kind of neglecting myself when it comes to you. But Lord, increase my ability to desire more for you. Lord, I've been pursuing my worldly ambitions long enough. But Lord, I desire you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I want my worship to be born from an appetite for you. I want my praise to be born from an appetite from you. Come on, church, let's call on his name today in Jesus' name. I need some people that don't mind praying, calling on the name of Jesus. I need some brothers that don't mind praying to call on the name of Jesus. I need some mothers to begin to call on the name of Jesus. Come on, I desire him. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Lord, increase our appetite, Lord. Increase us, Lord, that we can have more of you. Give us more of you. Give us more of you, Lord. We still have room for us to decrease. We still have room for you to increase in us, Lord. Increase in our prayer life in Jesus' name. Increase in the way that we worship you, that we can go deeper in our worship. Increase in us, God, that we can go deeper in praising you. Come on, church. Oh, please don't get tired just yet. Oh, Lord, increase in our services, Lord. God, you said in your word that no flesh can glory in your presence. I pray in the name of Jesus that when I get in your presence, my flesh will not be glorified. Come on, church, let's call on him here. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, come on, begin to move out of your chairs right now, why don't you? Come on, begin to walk around the sanctuary as you're praying in the spirit. Come on, I need someone to call on God on your heavenly language. Come on, I need someone to speak to him right now in your heavenly tongue. Come on, church, begin to walk around and praying and calling on the name of Jesus. Come on, sisters, begin to cry out for him. Come on, let's move past this mundanity. Let's move past our comfortable zone here. Come on, let's seek him today for a mighty move of God. Come on, church, do we hear now? Come on, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's it, sisters, that's it. Come on, that's it. Oh, Lord, I hunger for you. I hunger for you. Come on, tell them, I hunger for you, Lord. I hunger for you. Come on, church. We have people coming here today that need some things from God. Come on, come on, church. I wish you would lift up your voices for a few more minutes here. Come on, I wish you would lift up your voices during this time of prayer and call on his name.